Thanks be to God. Well, you may have seen the reality TV show, Hoarders. It was on for several seasons. I don't think they're making any more of that show. But it's a story of some very complicated human beings who live in houses packed floor to ceiling with junk. A great many of the items they hoard are useless. Stacks of old newspapers, piles of dry, rotted clothing, old bottles and jars that they may one day find a use for. Some spend years purchasing new clothes and house decor that they never end up using. These hoarding human beings are deemed complicated because it is not simply a matter of stopping their hoarding behavior. Oftentimes, the hoarding is of a deep-seated loss or fear that they experience in their lives. Hoarding behavior, we've now found, is to be a very serious psychiatric illness. The teams of TV helpers who come into those homes always include a psychological counselor to help the client find the fortitude to let the team actually throw some stuff into the dumpster. Admittedly, Mackenzie and I have watched many seasons of the reality show, and part of the appeal, I would say, of watching Hoarders is turning the TV off afterwards and by looking at each other and saying, well, I thought I had a messy closet, but it's nothing compared to that. But consider this, though. There are all sorts of ways of being a hoarder. Sometimes it's physical possessions that we hold on to. Other times it's memories of times we know will never, ever come again. Or maybe it's those cherished hopes and dreams of the future that we now know, if we're truly honest, will never come to pass. But still, we hold on to them, don't we? Still, we make ourselves incapable of experiencing joy or freedom in the present because we're holding on to so many things that have no value in our life at this time. And inside so many of us, just like those hoarders, is a sense of fear, a fear of not having what we may need at any given time. And of course, we may not be hoarding, but how many times have we feared that the possessions that we hold on to might be gone the next day, and then that next day needed? In today's scripture reading, Jesus shares a story about a rich man who had a fear as well. His fear was that he might not have enough possessions and that God would not provide what he needed. In my Bible, this parable is entitled The Fool, which lends much importance to what Jesus thought of this man's thinking. This rich man had a deep need to feel secure, and the most important way he felt secure was to have many, many possessions around him, especially grain, which would have fed him and given him the means to buy other possessions. He had abundantly more than what he would ever use in one lifetime. And in the midst of this fear, this rich man refuses to do anything else but hold onto his accumulated wealth of crops and goods. Comfort for the rich man came with an intense desire to surround himself with things that make him feel safe and secure. And that's all he could think about was his own security. The farmer's problem is that his good fortune has curved his vision so that everything he sees starts and ends with himself. He has fallen prey to the notion that life, and particularly the good life, consists of possessions, precisely the thing Jesus warns against. And when the rich man accumulates wealth and begins thinking about the future, we can see in this passage that his thoughts turn immediately to a me mentality. He doesn't think about what his wealth could do to help his neighbor. He thinks about how he can store this accumulated wealth for his own benefit. Maintaining personal security in this world is expected. Wealth is measured by the money that we have in the bank, the percentage of stocks that are owned, the number of cars in the garage, and the square footage of one's dwelling. Our culture encourages us to stockpile our resources so that we might be prepared for an unexpected rainy day. Television ads love to prey upon our insecurities and love to tell us that we would feel better with a larger home or a faster car or, I don't know, maybe a new and improved blender. Our reality is that no matter how much we have, we are always aware of the things that we don't have. Nowadays, we can make note of all those things that we think we need to have simply by starting a Google wish list, right? And you can share that with your family and friends so they know exactly what you need when the time comes for you to receive a gift. We are bombarded by marketing wizards whose job it is to convince us all that the products we need will complete our lives. And so we never quite feel like we have enough. Now, of course, good fiscal management of money is important, but all too often we worry more than we need to about our future. Will I have enough money to afford a nursing home? Will Social Security be available when I retire? And will my children and grandchildren be financially secure? For some of you today, worries include having enough money to buy groceries or school supplies or paying the water bill without overdrawing the checking account. Those worries extend out into our community as well. And soon we too enter into this me mentality. The current rate of inflation doesn't help curb the me mentality at this point, does it? And so much like the rich farmer, we are tempted to think that having large amounts of money and possessions stored up will make us feel secure. Sooner or later, however, we learn that no amount of wealth or property can fully secure our lives. No amount of wealth can protect us from a disease or from a tragic accident. There's no amount of wealth that can keep our relationships healthy and our families from falling apart. Often it seems that as we worry more, the less we feel inclined to give. We feel afraid giving our offering to the church because, well, our furnace is making some loud noises. We bargain with God that we'll practice tithing next year if we can spend this year paying off our loans. And even in the church, when we worry, we are less inclined to give and to dream and to help. We believe money in the bank, whether it's our own money or the church's, equates security and a promise that we will be safe in the future. Many kinds of fear create an inability to move forward, literally or figuratively. Literally, there are probably hoarders to this day who live like hermits for fear someone will tell them they must clean their house. And figuratively, we find ourselves unable to move forward. Forward enough to consider new dreams, new ways of living, new ways for ministry, and new places that God calls us in our lives. Now, there is nothing wrong with wanting to feel secure. There's nothing wrong with wanting to save money so that you can afford appropriate care for yourself as you age. And there's nothing wrong with making budgets, investing in stocks, or storing some supplies. Jesus doesn't warn against money or wealth or material abundance. What he warns against is greed and the insatiable feeling that we don't have enough. The problem comes when our need for security and worry about our future inhibits our ability to live a life of freedom that is found in God. The problem comes when we stubbornly refuse to move forward because we are afraid of what tomorrow might bring. Or we limit our care and concern to only what we are experiencing and struggling with. Jesus promises his followers, that means all of us, that God will provide. It's not just a trite answer. It's not just something we say in the midst of adversity. Jesus uses the imagery of birds and lilies to demonstrate the care and concern that God has for God's creation, and especially so for his beloved children. Jesus asks us to consider all the ways that God has cared for the animals and the flowers and nature, and then to understand that God values us so much more. God's love for us ensures that God never stops providing for God's children. And what Jesus reveals is that God knows what we worry about. God even understands that we worry about who will take care of us as we age, whether our grandchildren will be able to afford college, and well, all the other worries about what our church may look like next year, 5 years from now. I'm assuming most of you have heard the phrase YOLO. It took me a while to learn what those four letters meant. In case you don't, YOLO means you only live once. And at one point, it was a pretty popular acronym to use. I don't think it's used too much anymore. But you're welcome to use it if you still want to. But defined in a variety of ways, it can be construed as either, when you think about you only live once, you can be construed to live safe and maybe store up some treasures on earth. Or you can think about that phrase, you only live once, and it can take on a meaning of living life to the fullest and trusting in God. So the good news, the gospel news for us today, is that God is stronger and braver than any worry we might have. For most of us, it's a number of worries, right? Not just one worry. God provides for us in a multitude of ways throughout our lives. And this doesn't mean that we might not experience something that makes us scared, but perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love through the blood and flesh of Jesus Christ removes all fear and walks with us through the scary parts of life, like the parts of life when we worry about money and not having enough things. But embracing life with a you only live once attitude might mean that we trust God just a little bit more than we trust our financial planner. It might mean we take a look around our church and consider what is the bravest thing we could do together with what God has blessed us with. A YOLO attitude might encourage us to really think about how we want to live our lives and how we will live them together. Our lives and possessions are not our own. Essentially, that's what Jesus is saying in this parable. They belong to God, and we are merely stewards of them for the time that God has given to us here on earth. We rebel against this truth because we want to be in charge of our lives and our stuff. Yet this truth is actually good news, because all that we have and all that we are belongs to God. We know that our future is secure beyond all measure. Jesus tells us, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's as if Jesus says, "Don't worry, I got this," leaving us to focus on the joy of being the church together, of loving those around us, and dreaming dreams that only God can fulfill. Alleluia. Amen. I invite you now to stand with me as we sing a song of praise, "Father, I Adore You."